So we got this golf tournament coming up on September 7th. We've been tweeting out the direct address to sign up for the tournament. You can go to the overall website, iLifestyleGlobal.com. Are you a golfer?
I am a golfer, yeah.
All right.
I try to play as much as possible, but, you know, golf it is what it is.
All right. Well, but probably about 95, early September, so the weather will be nice. You'll be sweating a little bit. You'll be ready to go.
I'm out here towards Sacramento. I live in a little town called Manteca.
Yeah.
And it's 106 today, so I'm not scared.
I love it. I love it. Well, you are a guy who is familiar with Northern California in so many ways. I want to go into your background. First of all, people may be surprised. You know, you start playing for the Raiders late 80s, early 90s, and
yeah.
you had played professional football at a high level. You were in the CFL. Why did you start in the CFL?
I was too young for the draft, so I'm coming out of college. I actually left as a sophomore and started playing in Canada. And, you know, won Rookie of the Year the first year. I think my second or third year I won Most Valuable Player of the League. Played in the Grey Cup my second year, won it my third year. Yeah, it was a stepping stone for me. Great league. Had a lot of fun up there, a lot of success. I actually just got inducted into the Canadian Hall of Fame last weekend.
Very cool. Very cool. I saw you're part of the BC Lion Dream Team, the all-time BC Lion Dream Team.
Yeah.
You were a 10th round pick eventually by the Raiders, mm-hmm. right, in 1983, and then you still waited a couple
Correct.
More years to come back south. What was that whole process like? Al Davis coming to you, did you necessarily want to leave Canada?
Well, he actually tried to get me out, and, you know, we were so successful with the team that I was on, BC Lions. We were, you know, winning championships and playoff games every year, and Al tried to buy my contract out, and they wouldn't let me go, so I had to finish out my contract, and that ended in 86, and start playing at the Raiders in 87, yeah.
It's Raiders wide receiver, former Raiders wide receiver Mervin Fernandez is on the horn with us. Let's talk about some of those Raiders years. Let's start out with 1989. I mean, you really grew into one of the go-to guys on that team. But it was a weird year, wasn't it, right? Mike Shanahan started the season, and then Art Shell took over just four games in.
It was very weird, yeah. Mike was our head coach, and whatever reason, you know, players don't get into that too much, but they made the decision to get rid of him, and Art Shell came in, and you know we had some success with Art, and you know things went on from there. But it was a weird transition. It's pretty crazy to lose a head coach in the middle of the season, and then a whole new playbook and all the things that he wants and the coaches. So yeah, it was actually a good year though.
Oh, yeah, it turned out to be a good year. How did Art Shell pull it together quickly?
I think that Art's just a football player, and, you know, he knows football, and he used his knowledge and pulled everybody together, you know, pulled the team together. And, you know, we were a really tight unit that year in 89, and he just made it happen. We wanted to win for him because he was a former player, and, you know, pull the guys together. You know, football is team, and if the team part of it's not working, then you're not going to have much success, no matter what, no matter who's out there.
That's
and at
Fernandez.
The time, we had Marcus Allen in the backfield, and Bo Jackson, and Tim Brown, and James Lofton. So it's not like we didn't have the players to get it done.
Mervin Fernandez is with us, so. Just so you know, I'm pushing 50, so I got some years on me, and I want to have you explain to the audience, because we got a lot of young listeners out there. This is amazing when you look back and you read this. Art Shell became the first black head coach in the modern era of the NFL, all the way back to Fritz Pollard in the 20s. I mean, people think about that now. It's now I'm going to say it's only 30 years later, and Art Shell was breaking barriers as the first black head coach.
Yeah, and you know that kind of stuff to me is weird, and we can go on and on about it, about how the league evolved and where players came from, and I can only imagine in the Jackie Robinson days, and you know all that kind of stuff, and going to different towns and not being welcome, not being able to go in certain areas, and you know when I was in Canada, Warren Moon was in Canada,
yep.
And he was there because they didn't have black quarterbacks in the NFL. So think about that, and that was in the 80s.
Yep. Well, think about the fact that Warren really could have played 20-plus years all in the NFL but didn't get a chance to do that. What his numbers would have been like, the kind of winning he could have done in the NFL.
Yeah, no, he had success everywhere he went, and he was a great quarterback, and, you know, the rest is history. I mean, we can't beat ourselves up over what was or what should have been. We can only take care of what is now.
So you still hold, Mervin, some pretty impressive records in Raider history. I think the most impressive of them is the highest yards per catch in Raiders history overall. What gave you the ability as a player out there in the NFL to get the kind of separation, the yards after catch, to be able to hold that mark?
Well, I think a lot of it was just the training that I had in Canada, because, you know, they only have three downs, the field is bigger, and you get the ball a lot. So for 5 years, I was doing nothing but running deep routes and, you know, working my man. It's not like they didn't know we weren't going deep. They just couldn't stop it. And over the years, you know, you just get better at your craft. And that number stuck for me. And, you know, it's pretty cool that it's still there. And, you know, so eventually somebody will come along and break it, though.
Well, you say that, but, I mean, it's a number of years at this point, man. It's been almost 30 years that number's been standing up. I don't know if
Well, the game has changed a lot, too. You know, the Raiders are trying to get back to throwing the deep ball, but not a whole bunch of people throw the deep ball the way we threw the deep ball back in the 80s. So, yeah, it may not get broken.
And plus, you have so many elite receivers who are often targeted, you know, inside 8, 10, 12 yards, so that would take down their yards per catch.
Yeah, the rules have changed. I mean, you can't do some of the things that we were doing back in the day, and, you know, the linemen are faster, so you got to get the ball off quicker. Just a lot of different factors that came into it, but it's mine now, and they can't take it away unless somebody comes and beats it.
That's Mervin Fernandez. So you mentioned some intriguing names. I want to deep dive on a couple of things. First, Bo Jackson. You know, Bo Jackson in the end had a relatively short career in the National Football League, and I was kind of looking back on when he got injured. Do you remember when he got hurt? Because it was in a Bengals game. He actually busted off.
I was blocking right in front of him.
Okay, so he busted. Yeah. I think it was like a 56-yard run, and then he got up, and on the video, I couldn't really see anything, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, he's on his back, and obviously it looks like that was the moment that he injured his hip.
Yeah, so what had happened was I don't know if it was a sweep or an inside play, but it broke it to the outside, and he was coming down the sideline, and someone grabbed him from behind, just grabbed that leg, and just a fluke thing. Yep. And what I was told, and I don't know if it's true or not, but he had an old injury that reoccurred that in his hip socket, and it just got progressively worse from that. And like I said, that ended his football career eventually, but Bo was an impressive athlete. He was the biggest, fastest man I've ever seen in football gear, by none.
I mean, you think about it, in a lot of ways it changes Raiders' history into the 90s. I mean, if that guy's around for, you know, their 5 or 6 years as an elite running back, maybe there's a Super Bowl win, maybe there's a chance that you guys do pass the Bills and you're the elite team in the AFC.
Yeah, I remember that game too, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But he was a force to be reckoned with, and It was a tough day for him. I know he was disappointed, and like I said, I was the receiver on that side that was out in front of him, and, you know, I thought he was getting ready to pass me up, and I looked back, and, you know, he was on the ground. But at the time, it didn't seem that serious.
Right.
You know, he got up and walked off the field, and, you know, over time, it just never got better.
You know, the other guy we should talk about, you mentioned Tim Brown. So early on, I mean, Tim Brown came into the league as, you know, a guy who was highly touted. It's actually interesting. He goes on to make the Hall of Fame, but when he came in, I mean, you guys had the receiver spots all locked up. He really didn't come into his own until like 5 or 6 years, and we're talking at receiver, until five or 6 years into his career. When you watched him early, were you like, hey, maybe this is not going to work? Because it worked in the end.
Well, no. Timmy was a talented guy and just unbelievable speed, and you know, he just wasn't polished as a receiver when he came into the league. And, you know, over time he polished his craft, and I'm sure he got a little help from me and James Lofton and
sure,
Willie Gault, and turned his wide receiver job into something special. And then really when he came in, he was doing more punt returns and kickoff returns.
Yeah.
And, eventually, became the starting wide receiver. I remember I was the starting wide receiver, and then I believe it was at the end of the year or at the beginning of the year, and Art Shell calls me in his office and said that, we're going to start Timmy this year, and, he's had a great camp and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay. So me and Timmy were roommates. That was my roommate. I was probably the only roommate that he had. So, like, cool, okay. Timmy's a great receiver, whatever. I'm, like, into my career or whatever. And then, the rest is history.
Turned out pretty well, right? Turned out pretty well for him.
He turned out pretty well. I mean, who plays 18 years? I don't know. That's just crazy.
Amazing. All right. In wrapping, tell people what these events are like. You got Raiders, Broncos, Grudge Match. There's going to be a ton of your former Raider teammates, other Raiders out there, former Broncos out there. This is a really cool event.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about it. And the people that are putting it together are doing a great job. And this is just a chance for us to go out and have some fun and raise some money for a charity. And, hopefully the public comes out and they get some more golfers out there, because I'm going to need somebody to help me look for my ball.
There you go. Mervin, we appreciate a couple minutes. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.